This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, Google gets their grubby little fingers into more of iOS. Amazon makes a shocking discovery, and bet you I'll Higgs your boson. Stay tuned. And welcome back, techies, to another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, is the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello, and welcome back.
All right. So, Google I.O. was last week. Of course, we covered a lot of the Google news. We got a couple more pieces here for you. These are very interesting to those fans of iOS that are out there. I know I preach the glories of Android, and of course, Sam preaches the glories of webOS. What can you do?
Of course.
But anyway.
There's a few people out there who haven't wisened up and gone the Android or webOS route. So yeah, this is for them.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here reading my show notes off of an iPad, so I can't really say too much. But one of the big things, and this one I have started to use a lot, and it is the fact that Google has brought Chrome, the Chrome browser, to iOS now. Now, it, as far as I'm concerned, is an amazing replacement to Safari. It works fantastic. It works just like the desktop version. I mean, it is exactly tabs, everything, the way you can drag them around. It's gorgeous. Now, of course, being that you're on an iPad and you're in a walled garden and it's all locked down because Uncle Job says so, you can't replace Safari with it completely. If you click on a link, it's still going to try and open in Safari instead of Google Chrome. That is where jailbreaking comes in, my friends. Because if you jailbreak and you do a little bit of a search on the interwebs for a program called Browser Chooser, you can install this program. It's a free little snippet of code that goes into your iOS and allows you to go into the settings menu and pick a browser. So now, when I say open in Safari, the iPad automatically opens it in Chrome. A thing of beauty. It certainly is. Now, like I said, it works just like the desktop version. It is free. You might as well use it. I can't tell you a reason not to. If you sign into it, all of your bookmarks sync, your browsing history, all of this stuff, it has great synergy, like that word, synergy, yeah, with all of Google's services. That will allow you, if you're a heavy Google user like me, to not have to put in your crap a billion and a half freaking times. So that's good.
I have three things to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I bet one of them has to do with webOS, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, two of them.
Oh,
for those of you wondering about stability and, you know, anything in regards to this browser, for those iOS people who have only ever used iOS and are not familiar with Chrome in any way, shape, and form, one, it's using the same WebKit rendering engine as Safari. So in regards to speed and stability, it's exactly the same. That's an Apple rule. You have to use their WebKit. So Google has just more or less borrowed it and rebuilt upon it with the exact same features that the other operating systems get with their version of Chrome. The second thing, I have never noticed, like, I've never used Chrome because it's not on webOS, but the stacked tabs like that look just like stacked cards in webOS.
Oh, my God.
You knew it was coming.
Really?
I've never noticed that before.
Really? Oy.
The other thing is that in regards to all your services being called pulled together and being called Synergy, webOS had that at launch called webOS Synergy.
Wah, wah.
I just had to say that. But I, for those of you out there, I highly recommend Chrome. Download it for iOS. Give it a shot. I use Chrome on almost every single computer I have because I never know with Firefox if it's going to be stable that day or not. And that's something I'll give Chrome, is that it's generally always stable.
Yeah, and Chrome did have an issue recently, I guess less than 6 months ago, where the Macintosh version of it actually broke. I mean, it was horrible. It was slow. It sucked up power like you wouldn't believe. Something had been broken. They released an update. Everything's right in the world. Chrome works fantastic from that point on. So I guess they fixed their problem. And now I'm with you. You know, Firefox is a good browser as long as it's stable. Chrome is always stable.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Next on our list, another little piece of Google stuff. Pardon me while I refresh myself. We're actually going to do, this is a raw episode. Very raw. We're being real. We're getting down to the real junk. And I'm not going to make Sam talk while I refresh my voice. That's delicious. All right.
I was actually confused about what was about to happen here.
need liquid libation. Anyway, so the next thing on our list here is Google Drive, also for iOS. Now, Google Drive, as you know, was originally called Google Docs. So, you know, all your documents are in there. Now it's available for you to upload pretty much anything to. When I originally downloaded this app, I was uber excited because it gave me a native app from Google that allowed me to... I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get to edit all of my documents for Google Docs in here. Wrong answer. No, you can just view them. You can't change them. All the hyperlinks in them work, and all the pictures, and I mean, the documents look great, but you can't change anything about them. That's a downside. However, I am right now, as I told Sam at the beginning of this episode, I am running all of our show notes off of my iPad right now as a test of faith to see if it can actually hold up. And since I only read my show notes, I don't actually have to edit them along the way. You know, it might work. We'll see how this goes. Now, another program you can use on a related note in order to edit Google Documents as well is a program called Cloud On. It's a free program. It does cloud computing and word processing. I believe it does PowerPoint and Excel. I know it does Excel. But it actually has the Microsoft Office versions of all those. So that's kind of cool. It's a neat little cloud app. You check that out. It's Cloud On. It's a free app. You just got to sign up for an account, and the account's free. So good stuff. All right. Let's see here. Oh, this is good. Over the weekend, a few of you might have realized that Instagram, Netflix, Pinterest, those kind of sites weren't working. And while I was bummed about Netflix and I was okay with Instagram being down, I didn't notice Pinterest was down at all. I'm sure some people did, though, you know? There's pinners out there. So a site doesn't get to be in the news unless it's got somebody on it. So... But Amazon runs pretty much all of the servers for those websites, okay? It is the, the EC2? Yeah, I believe is what their platform is called. Now, what this does is basically the EC2 is a cloud computing platform. So what happens is... In Northern Virginia, and I actually had someone explain this to me as North Virginia. They said, yeah, over in North Virginia. And I said, dude, there's no North Virginia. It's like, I said, say Northern Virginia or the north side of Virginia. I said, there's no North Virginia. There's a North Carolina, but no North Virginia. So.
English failed.
Exactly. So, Amazon's data centers, and for a matter of fact, a lot of data centers are in North Virginia. I don't know exactly what it is about North Virginia. Yeah, you know, I'm saying it too. How fun is that? I was hoping you'd catch me, but it didn't work. You just let it go.
Well, anyway. I'm going to say, I was waiting to see if you were ever going to catch yourself or if this was going to be a repeated offense that I was going to have to point out.
No, it was a test, Sam.
Well, I was making sure you weren't a hypocrite.
Well, you know. Anyway, there are pretty much all of the servers that you hear about are in Northern Virginia. They really are. In all honesty, the server that our website's hosted on, I believe, is in Northern Virginia. So, But all of Amazon's data centers for their EC2 are there. And what happened is they had some really bad electrical storms, and the data centers took a jolt. Now, normally, the backup generators would kick in and everything would be all dandy and well. Well, they found some bugs. Just a few bugs and small problems. And basically, it killed the power on all the backup generators. Now, the power was only out for about 10 minutes until they started the generators back up. But what they say is that after all the servers had shut down for 10 minutes, it would require up to 3 hours just to start up all the servers again. Ouch.
Yeah, that is ridiculous for a company the size of Amazon.
Exactly. I mean, I'm bummed out whenever the power goes out here and my UPS backup on my server goes down, you know? I mean, to have an entire data center's generator just go, boop, that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they were down for a little while, and they were a little sketchy after that, but everything should be up and ready to go, and hopefully this, you know, they found the bug and this doesn't happen again. Because this is probably very costly, especially you think someone like Netflix, you know, I mean, they stream so much video, and to have their website go down, I mean, wow. I don't think that's lost revenue for them, really, as much as...
I would expect it to be calculated into, you know, any foreplanning in regards to expenses and profit.
Exactly. And, you know, because everyone on Netflix pays a monthly fee, I don't think this would be considered, you know, a big loss. Now, Netflix is really good about, in previous times that their site has had an issue... I think at one time their site was down for less than a day, and they actually issued like a $5 credit to anybody who had a problem. You just had to go to their site, tell them, hey, I had a problem accessing it, and they'd credit your account for $5. So you can probably expect something along these lines. Now, whether it will come out of Netflix's pocket or if it will come out of Amazon's pocket because this was their fault, who knows? All right. And, hey, we found our first problem with Google Drive on the iPad as a show note reader. My iPad screen times out a lot sooner than I need, or a lot sooner than I need that next story.
It's a lot of pressing home or whatever it is
exactly.
You have to press.
Exactly. Press, slide to unlock. Press, slide to unlock. I'm glad I don't have a pin pad or a key pin number on my iPad. It'd take too long. All right. Galaxy Nexus. Fantastic phone. It's still, I mean, it's like 6 months old at this point. It's still an amazing piece of machinery. It's going to be one of the phones to get Jelly Bean right away. If you got it from Google, you get it right away. If you got it from a carrier, you're going to get it really soon. But, you know, it'll probably be first couple weeks of July. You know, like, probably not this week. Maybe next week-ish. Who knows? You know, they haven't nailed down an actual date. However, it's going to be really hard to buy in the U.S. now because Apple has gotten a preliminary ban against the Samsung Galaxy Nexus in the U.S. only, but basically Samsung is banned from selling these in the United States right now until they fix this patent infringement.
Yeah, this is actually starting to get kind of ridiculous. Considering that it is the same search patent that HTC is violating as the key player, that would make it a grounds for being a fair use patent that everybody has to pay for, more or less. I don't see bans being the answer to that problem because that is just hurting the American market and the American market. Competition is very good, and suffice to say, there are very, 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 very few devices that compete with an iPhone in regards to hardware and OS efficiency, and the Nexus line of devices is definitely the closest one.
Very true, and, you know, like you said, banning is not the answer to the situation, and I guarantee you, it'll basically be Samsung paying money to have this go away, because the patent that this is infringing is so ridiculously broad that there's I don't see any way of getting around it. From what I understand, the patent is basically it's a patent on search, and it's basically saying, you know, you use plain text in a linguistic manner, blah blah blah, to search, and the search engine will go out and get search data from multiple sources, and basically it's search.
Yeah.
There's no other way of putting it. Yeah. It's Siri, it's Android voice, you know, it's Google voice, it's S voice on the S3, you know, it's all these ways that you can search using plain language. You know, Google does this every day online.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it all of a sudden a problem?
Exactly. And the only thing I can think of is, well, again, and with a patent this broad, it needs to be categorized. Then, if Apple did do it first or anything else like that, and it's shown to be upheld as theirs, this is a fair use patent because it's being used by everybody for multiple kinds of technology, not just cell phones. This is a technology spanning. I mean, cars will be able to do this one day. This is not something, you know, that is just linear and kept to cell phones. This has got to be set up as a fair use patent, which then, yes, means everybody is paying Apple for it. But don't ban our products.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm getting most of this information from Engadget's article, which we have a link in our show notes. Thank you, Engadget. But I'm reading some of the comments at the bottom because I always enjoy when something like this happens, there's always somebody who comments something extremely hilarious. And the very first comment, and I'm sorry if I pronounce your name wrong, your last name is Fernandez, so I'm going to say your first name is Jesus. Probably not Jesus. It's probably Jesus. So if it's not, I'm sorry. But Jesus Fernandez says, hide your gadgets, hide your innovations, hide your Androids, because they suing everybody. I like it. Someone needs to dub that into the, what is it, the Bed Raider? What is the name of that video? Bed Raider? Something like that.
Bed Raider.
Yeah, I love that video. Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids. Anyway, so yeah, the Galaxy Nexus going to get real hard to buy in the U.S. If you have one, hide it, because you don't want them suing everybody. And hey, tell us how Jelly Bean is, because you'll be getting it. Actually, I'll be getting it probably by the time the regular Galaxy Nexuses get it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an Nexus S, and I'm supposed to get it. So get with it, Google. I want to see it.
Indeed.
All right. This next story actually belongs to you, my friend. I used to own a BlackBerry. Tell me why I might not ever own a BlackBerry again.
Well, we've got sad news in BlackBerry world. The as much as they were trying, as RIM was trying to get BlackBerry 10 out by the end of the year, they have come out and said that it will not be available until second quarter of 2013.
Womp womp.
Yeah, this is a this is the last nail in the coffin at this point in time, because now not only are they competing against the new Apple releases, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, the new Android release. They'll be competing with Open Web OS, Firefox OS. I mean, there's so many operating systems. By then, we'll probably see Tizen rolling out in some way, shape, and form here in America. They don't have a chance. Their technology partners at this point in time, it will have been more than 2 years since the business industry who uses BlackBerries upgraded. They will have changed, because iOS is very secure, has tons of productivity suites and apps. I don't see BlackBerry Messenger and BlackBerry Email as being a legitimate reason to keep with a platform that has now been dead for 3 years. So long, RIM. I expect you to be sold, bought, whatever, by Christmas this year.
You think Christmas?
I think Christmas. The fact is, I would give them another quarter, one more quarter of bad results, and the stockholders will have their CEO and board of directors' throats.
I'll give them... I don't know. I think I'm going to go May of next year.
You think you'll have till May?
I think BlackBerry 10 will come out, and it will cost them so much to put it out, and it will not be adopted because of previous issues with, like, you know, the QNX and all that stuff.
Yep.
That people won't adopt it fast enough, and they'll have financial trouble because of that.
Yeah. See, and what's the thing is it really sucks because that platform, that BlackBerry platform, it is the best when it comes to productivity. It's just so not user-friendly by today's standards anymore. And what we've seen is that there's no market for a tablet. It's the iPad, or it's a $200 generally piece of junk. There are good $200 products, and we're about to see a great one launch in regards to the new Nexus tablet. But there's no room in the tablet market. And in regards to phones, I don't see everybody waiting for a BlackBerry 10 cell phone. It's not going to happen. And that sucks, because I would love for there to be more competition than Android and iOS, because both of them are rolling out new innovations and everything, that's fine. But in regards to hardware, it has stalemated. I mean, it is something that we are not seeing great innovations. Whenever Microsoft rolls out a tablet with a integrated keyboard into its cover, and that's innovation, we have definitely slowed down in that regard. That's terrible. So I would love to see more competition out there, but I don't think it's going to happen from RIM.
Gotcha. All right. So the next story is also yours. Congratulations.
Woohoo! Two in a row. And I sneaked it in a little bit on this last one. For those of you who are listening and paying attention and said WTF to Firefox OS, yes, Mozilla is rolling out Firefox OS, renaming BootGecko, which I've talked about before, and they have partners. They have support. Sprint and let me see. Sprint has officially said that they will be selling Firefox OS devices in 2013, with ZTE and TCL Communications rolling out hardware. For those wondering, no, this is not going to be high-end devices. They are aiming for the low-end market, the $50 and less cell phone area. But what's great is that Firefox OS is open source, so you'll be able to buy good Android hardware and install Firefox OS onto it, if you would please. So, do I see this as being successful? Well, as we've talked about, Firefox is a little shady in regards to stability, and I don't know if I would trust my entire operating system on Firefox, just Firefox. It's a wonderful concept, a browser that controls everything. It controls your camera, it controls your cell phone, you know, making phone calls, you do it all from within the browser. But they better have this stable, because if they don't, it will fail and fail hard.
You better believe it. That would be my one worry, is that it isn't completely stable and they have to patch it a billion times. Now, I'm always open for a new OS to come into the market, but man, they are going to have a hard time getting this traction.
What I want to see is Firefox OS come out in a pseudo beta, and we can install it on our Android devices, get it functioning, get everything hammered out before this thing ever hits market. I mean, that's the same thing I'm pushing for with Open Web OS, is the fact, let's get these open source operating systems stable. And as a community, which is what Linux has always been about, is the community, go out there and get these on, you know, on hardware, so that everyday average people can use it and be free from a corporation's pull and updates and everything else like that.
Very true.
Yes. I'm very anti-corporation.
I notice. It would be very nice to have a real good open source operating system. Android is really growing up well, but, you know, it's...
My issue with Android is that it's backwards. It's that it's Google doing all the work and then releasing it. The community then takes what they release and create their own custom operating systems, but there's very little feedback from the community to Google, hey, we'd like this. Hey, we'd like this. No one asked, really, no one asked for the multitasking that came out that mimicked WebOS. No one was really looking for that, but they went ahead and did it. It wasn't with feedback. It wasn't with anything else, and that's what bothers me about Android, is that I want my feedback to, in the future, be in the operating system and know that I contributed and helped, and I just don't see that with Google.
Good stuff. All right. So, next, this is a big corporation type thing. Oh, display time down again. All right. Yeah, I got to remember that. Every time it starts to dim, I got to tickle my iPad.
Yep.
Like, tickle me Elmo and wake it up. All right. So, Windows 8 Pro. We heard that the Windows 8 regular version is going to have a pretty cheap upgrade for people who buy a computer after, I think it was June 16th, I believe is what it was. It was something along those lines.
Yes.
But what about all the rest of us who aren't buying computers after that, who have Windows 7 and have had it for a long time? How much is it going to cost us? Well, from what Microsoft says, and... Do you remember what Windows 7 cost roundabout? Wasn't it like $100, $150, something like that?
Yes, because it was $100 for the single use and $150 for the three use, if I remember correctly, because I got a deal on Amazon for $119 for the three use.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, how about this? If you just download the upgrade. Okay, you don't buy it in retail, you download it. Windows XP, Windows Vista, and Windows 7 will get the Windows 8 Pro upgrade for $40. That's a pretty darn good price. Especially
that's the best...
if you're on Windows XP.
Go ahead. Yes.
What do you think about this? Is this gonna make people more apt to upgrade?
I think so, and yes and no. The thing is that it will only make more people more apt to upgrade if they advertise this price, and I expect them to, because Microsoft is obviously being very aggressive with this Windows 8 strategy. They have to be. They're losing ground. They're on quicksand. They've got to get to stable ground. And the only way to do that is by making people's everyday computers affordable, up-to-date and affordable. This is a good way to do it, but if people don't know it, which kind of happened with Windows 7, because Vista's bad rap, people were so hesitant to get Windows 7 that a lot of them waited too long and didn't get the deal. Microsoft needs to change that. So they need to make sure that people know it's okay to upgrade. And what's funny is that no one really knows. I mean, Windows 8 could go either way in regards to popularity and usability. So this is a gamble for Microsoft. Hopefully it pays off. For those of you out there who are on the fence about it, I would go ahead and pay the $40 to update. That way, in the future, you don't end up having to pay more.
That's actually a very good point. And if you buy it in retail, I believe it's going to be about $70 with a disc. No, still,
which I will
not
be,
that bad.
I will be buying. Yeah, I'll be buying the disc regardless, because there are too many places without internet, and there are too many times a laptop or device can go down where you need to fix it, and man, it's terrible not having internet available.
Very true. And also, you know, if your computer goes down in the middle of it, you know, Kind of crappy. Yeah. Hey, all of a sudden the bread goes out of Wi-Fi. Crap.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And begin again.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely be in line for the disc. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Last story. This one I actually put last on purpose. It has nothing to do with any other story in our any other story in our queue, but I thought it was fun because I've been telling people this all the time. Every once in a while, someone will say something to me. And you know how you always have that standby phrase, that phrase where you say your mom, or that's what she said, or something like that. Mm-hmm. My standby phrase has always been, I'll Higgs your boson. And no one understands it. I don't understand it. I don't even know what I mean. But it's funny, and that's why it's funny, because people know what they've heard Higgs boson before, but they don't know anything about it. So I'm always like, yeah, I'll Higgs your boson. You know, that's good stuff. That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm also one of those people that says Schrodinger's cat is dead. No one knows what I'm talking about. So, except for one guy where I work. He's into physics. He knows. And okay, so basically this story, I'm not going to go too deep into it because it'll make my brain bleed, and that's just unhealthy. But basically CERN, the people who run the Large Hadron Collider, you know, the thing that was supposed to kill us a couple years ago and never did. Bet those people who drank that Kool-Aid feel a little bit dumb right now.
No, they're drinking a whole new brew of it for 2012.
Exactly. They can't wait. That December 22nd, 2012 is when they're going to flip that one switch at CERN. The one that they haven't flipped yet, you know.
Yep.
So they're going to you know what's going to happen? They're going to find 100% proof that the Higgs boson exists. They're going to
destroy the world.
They're going to pop the champagne. They're going to be partying. They have party poppers and hats and all excited. And some drunken scientist is going to just bump into that one switch that just sucks the world inside out and turns us into a giant pinata, you know? And that's how it's going to happen. That's what's going to go down. I figured it out.
Calling it now. Well, we'll never know if you're right.
Exactly. We're just going to turn into a giant inside-out sphincter in space.
Yes. If we're lucky. What?
By the way, I wish we still had episode titles. I might bring that back, because sphincter in space would be a good episode title.
True. Just tag it on there. No one else will know why.
No one needs to know. Just sphincter in space. Because that's what I think of when I think of the world turning inside-out and then sucking into a little hole. Is like a giant space sphincter. You know?
Yes. That's not really what I've ever considered. You know this picture, though?
But you are
ironically,
now.
Look at the picture in the article.
Ooh, it's an electro sphincter.
It looks like a sphincter.
It kind of does. Ah, that's awesome.
Oh,
man. That's a particle accelerator sphincter. The butthole of the Large Hadron Collider. Oh, man. And that dude's standing right in the way, man.
Yeah, he's right on the sphincter.
When the shit hits the fan, he is covered.
Yes.
Oh, man. Anyway, so back to the story before we started talking about giant space buttholes. CERN has come up to, and this is cool. I've never heard this term before. They have been able to suggest the existence of the Higgs boson to within 4.5 to 5 sigma level of proof. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
Really?
Only because I read the previous article about the possibility of it, whenever I believe it was like a 1.6 sigma level.
Well, they moved up.
Yes, that was the whole big deal about that. That's what really makes this that important is that they have gotten that close.
See, my server at home is actually called Sigma. Oh, that's cool. I don't know why that's cool. But anyway, I'd never heard of that, though.
You've heard of like Tri-Sigma and such, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds
familiar. Oh, a Sigma level?
Yeah, I've never heard of Sigma level of proof.
What, Tri-Sigma? Like, or any Sigma at a college?
No, I've heard of Sigma. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a Greek letter.
Sigma.
There's all kinds of sigmas. It's like there's a billion omegas.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't remember what sigma looks like. Oh, wait a minute. Sigma is the one that looks like an E, isn't it? Yeah, that's sigma. I know that sigma.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. That was right. Greek letter. I'm not stupid. Gosh. So, basically, what they're saying is, like I said, to within 4.5 to 5 sigma level of proof, and that's considered nearly concrete evidence. Pardon me. Vocal cord refresher. I know a lot of people hate that, so that's why I do it. Anyway, so they need 5 or more to settle the matter completely. But considering they went from 1.6, you said, to now being almost 5, I mean, they're practically going to turn us into a giant space sphincter any day now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to be turned into a space butthole. So, CERN actually put out a video and pulled it very soon, or very quickly afterwards. They're saying that it wasn't ready and it was a different response and blah, 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 blah. Who cares? The fact of the matter is they're supposed to have an event tomorrow, which will be, as far as the listeners are concerned, today. That is July 4th. Yeah, we love you that much, by the way, that we're recording this July 3rd at night so that you can have something to listen to instead of having your eardrums blown out by fireworks. So, yeah, be grateful. Gah.
Indeed.
Yeah, or I'll turn you into a giant space butthole. So, anyway, so on the 4th, they're supposed to be having an event that will announce any information they might have had. Who knows? They might say, hey, we found the Higgs boson, and it's going to turn the world inside out in a couple days. So, have fun.
Our bad.
Yeah, our bad. So... hopefully that doesn't happen, but, you know, I'm ready for anything. Personally, I thought the birth of Suki's baby was going to be the end of the world, but that was just me.
Sure.
Like, you know, it was going to turn out to be the Antichrist, and just everything was going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be this instead.
I would hope not.
But yeah, you know, I mean, everything turning to hell would probably be a little bit better than being turned into a giant space bottle. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, ugh. That just, ugh.
Indeed. Ah, and a correction on myself. The last test came out at 3.5, and the one before that was a 1.6.
Gotcha.
So it has gotten much – we're doubling, effectively, so much closer.
You say sigma level of proof. I say pucker factor.
Pucker factor. Pucker factor.
Yeah.
I want to find a way to use that in my everyday life.
You've never heard of that?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, dude. I use that so much. That's the measurement of, and this is going to be kind of rude, but it's the measurement of how much your butthole puckers to an event. So, like, someone jumps up behind you and scares you. It's like a pucker factor of 1, 1.5. You almost hit a living animal in your car. That's like a 5. If you're, you know, jumping off of a building, base jumping, that ranks about an 8 pucker factor. So, you know,
interesting. Yeah, I've never considered exactly how much I pucker during events.
I have a very complex internal monologue. All right. So that's the last story we have for you guys today. I know we entered in a lot of extra comedy gold in there. I'm going to have oh, by the way, instead of a black hole, we are going to be turning into a giant brown hole.
Ooh.
Ah. You know they had to come in there.
Snuck one more in.
Had to. It was too good to resist. So.
It's probably the only time I'll ever get away with saying snuck one in and while referring to sphincters and no one take it dirty.
Well, we do now. Congratulations. All right. You want to tell people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheManatyMan. You can message me on Gmail, manatyman@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/squirrelsinmanatees. That's the
Did you just sign
that's
up
the
for
letter
that?
In.
That's good. I like that. Squirrels, yep, and manatees living together. Mass hysteria.
Well, yeah, it was a funny joke a long time ago that's no longer really funny, and I can't. Facebook won't let me change it.
Ah, I see.
You can only change that once, and I'm now stuck with a really bad old joke.
That sucks a little, but
yeah,
that's what you get for using Facebook.
Yes, and also Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com.
Ooh, can't forget that one.
No.
All right, if you'd like to get a hold of me, which I know you would, my email address is jesse@8daysofgeek.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm @PenOfDoom. I say funny things every once in a while. I mean, granted, I save most of my comedy gold and space sphincter talk for this podcast, but I'll throw you a bone every once in a while. You can find anything else about me at about.me/Jesse Miller. Imagine that. It's fantastic. Everything about me is on that website. So go there, save yourself a lot of time. It's so much easier. All right, if you'd like to leave us a message or text us, you can send that to, the number is 754-273-6397. And for those of you who had the Higgs bosons in your ears and couldn't hear me, pull them out. Listen again. The number is 754-273-6397. All right. So, guys, we will talk at you next week when we come back with more tech news that we can chew up in little bitty pieces and spit right back at you. That is if CERN does not turn us into a giant space sphincter first. If that happens, I can't guarantee we'll still be here. We'll try, but yeah, you know, I mean.
Is that a 10 on the pucker factor?
You know, I think we would be able to upgrade the pucker factor scale to include an 11. And the 11 would only be used in the case of space sphincter creation. Or no, it'd be space sphincterification.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, you know, it happens.
This is a quote-worthy episode.
Yeah, space sphincterification. It helps that I have a small lisp, so that actually is accentuated quite a bit more than it's supposed to be. Anyway, join us next week for more tech news and a whole bunch more comedy gold. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.